If you notice the title of our sermon for today, Growing Up Isn't Easy, I know that is a true statement. Our passage for our sermon today is also one that is incremented into certain principles or teachings, and it makes it very easy for us to follow. So I just want to read it or share it with you today, and it's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 1. And this is Paul speaking as a prisoner for the Lord. "Then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does it mean? What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full measure or the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." How many of you feel like you are Jesus today? I think we miss the mark a little bit, don't we? But the challenge that we have is that we are to attain to the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean to attain to the fullness of Christ? And I think if we work backwards, starting with this premise, that is what we're shooting for, to attain to the fullness of Christ. Now, the first question as I look in the mirror that I would ask, am I striving to attain to the full measure of the fullness of Christ? And whatever that answer might be, whether it be yes, no, somewhat, it doesn't change the standard, does it? Attaining to the full measure of Christ. That means I see you the way Christ sees you. You see me the way Christ sees me. I think the way Christ thinks. I'm concerned about the things that Christ is concerned about. And so he gives us a list of things that helps us attain to the full measure of Christ. And the first thing that we're going to see is in the first verse, it says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. How many of you heard him calling you? Well, visibly, verbally, I'm not sure I heard Jesus call me, but I've certainly heard a lot of preachers proclaim that Jesus was calling me and calling me into his fold. I've read in his holy word that Jesus wants me to be a part of his kingdom. I have heard Christians encourage me to become a part of his kingdom. So what is this great calling? Now, many of us have been called to do a lot of things. Service, work, those types of things. But we need to understand that the calling that we have received in Jesus Christ is the greatest calling we will ever have. It will come from no greater source than God himself. When God looks down and he sees us and has called us, because all are called, but few are chosen because few respond, the call that we have is to become and to understand and attain the full measure of Christ. Now, understand, and I think it goes without saying, he's not calling us to be Jesus, because Jesus was a unique individual, the only Son of God. But we are considered sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, the Creator God. So what kind of a life are we striving to live according to a call that is above every call that we have ever received? A call that is exemplary. A call that challenges us to be more than we are today, to take us to a place where in God's plan we become more valuable to the world than we would be had we not tried to live up according to this call. Am I simply living out the principles that God has laid down for me? And am I striving and struggling to do those things? I don't know about you, but sometimes this is a day-to-day thing for me. Some days I'm way more intense about this struggle and to becoming more like Jesus. And there's other days that I'm not so interested in that, that the cares of the world or whatever's going on overwhelms me, and I'm not looking for that. And sometimes I begin to respond in ways that I know would not be pleasing to Jesus at all. So as I'm looking at this lifestyle that is worthy of the calling, it's one that actively seeks, knocks, and asks. Jesus said that anyone who asks, it will be answered. He who knocks, the door will be opened. And he who searches will find. Am I trying to find that? And that's the first question that we must answer for ourselves, because the standard doesn't change. The standard is laid out for us in the wholeness of the full measure of Jesus Christ. Then it says something that is an extreme challenge to a lot of us. It is to me. Be completely humble and gentle. If someone was describing me, those would not be the words that they would probably use. Completely humble and gentle. What does it even mean to be humble and gentle? Does it mean that you allow everybody just to run over you? That's not what he's talking about here at all. It talks about in the humility of understanding who we are and the power and the knowledge that God has put into us, that we use that in a gentle and loving way to change the patterns of the lifestyles of this world, to extend the call that Jesus Christ has made for each one of us. And then it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, we look around the world, we're going to misunderstand this statement, because we know that we cannot be at peace with a lot of things going on in this world. We just can't. And if we are, then we're part of the world. So what is he talking about? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. First of all, let's look at the word unity. What does the word unity mean? Or what concept does that bring to your mind when we talk about unity? That means we're kind of together, right? And that there isn't any friction going on around that. Do we see that? Do we see that in our lives, first of all? Do we see it in our worship? Do we see it in the body of Christ? Do we see it in the church universal? And we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school class this morning. One of the greatest disappointments in my life, and you know, I've probably been guilty of being a participant in this, is that, you know, we all have our spiritual weapons. We have our rifles, our spiritual rifles, and we load it up with that spiritual ammunition, what I believe, and then we start pointing it at fellow Christians and pulling the trigger. Historically, the church has done more damage to itself than the world ever has, because we are not unified in one thing. The one thing that we're unified that really matters is according to our relationship with Jesus Christ, according to salvation, is that we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And not just believing that that's his name, not believing that Jesus Christ just lived, but what Jesus Christ accomplished for each one of us. Anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that what he accomplished with his life, with his sacrifice, with his resurrection, with his ascension, and with the promise and the word that he's given to us and the Holy Spirit that he leaves within us is the principal foundation, the foundation, the life of our life that brings us into unity with God himself. Anyone who is in unity with God himself will be unified with each other on this earth. And so I just want to just throw it out and you can make your own decisions. How's come there's so much friction and disunity within the body of Christ? There's a lot of reasons for that. But make every effort to be in unity with Jesus Christ. And if we are in unity with Jesus Christ, and every one of us is striving to be in unity with Jesus Christ, then we are going to be unified with each other. And it says, through the bond of peace. Does a spirited discussion sound like peace? Can it be peace? Can it bring peace? I'm going to maintain that it can, as long as that spirited discussion is motivated by the unity and the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. But what is the peace that we're talking about? Is it peace between each other? Dissenting factions? Good and evil? Is it that getting along together? I don't think that's what he's talking about here. Jesus told his apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not be disheartened. Do not be afraid." The peace that he's talking about here is the peace that comes from the unity of believers in our belief in God himself. How we reconcile people to God's truth so that they too may have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what attaining, or part of what attaining to the full measure of Christ is. Okay, I want to skip down just a little bit here to verse 4. And then I'm going to pose another question. It says, there is one body and one spirit. One body and one spirit. How many churches, how many denominations did Jesus establish? Any guesses? How about one? Yep, one's the right answer. How many denominations do we have? How did we get there? Because every one of the denominations says we are the right way. Can we all be right? Does it matter if we're all right? There is one body and one spirit. Here's what's right. And I don't care what name you have on your door. Here's what's right. Is that we agree with the Holy Spirit that God has promised to give each one who believes. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, one of the great gifts that God has given us as a repentant person who has become now a believer in Jesus Christ, has changed the trajectory of his life, has been obedient in baptism, has transformed his thinking, not like the world, but now it's transformed. I'm thinking in a new way. He says, you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many Holy Spirits are there? One. How many messages does the Holy Spirit send out? One message. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you search the whole Bible and prove me wrong, please tell me. But the Holy Spirit has only had one message and one focus and one purpose in all the time that it has been within the hearts and the lives of men. There is one body and one spirit. So maybe it would tell us, first of all, as we look in the mirror, and we can't change anybody sitting next to us. The person we can change is the one looking back at us in the mirror. That's the one we can change. And if we can change that one, we might influence the person looking next to us. So my thinking needs to be focused on that one spirit and that one message that he's talking about, so I can be a part of that one body, which is the body of Christ, the church. And again, I don't care what the name is on the door. If we're focusing on that one body and that one spirit that Christ established, then we're going to be unified together. Just as you were called to one hope. What is the multiple hopes that we have as Christians? Well, first of all, let me ask, how many hopes are there? There's one. Boy, I like this. I wish this would have been this way in grade school. I could have counted that high. One. One hope. What is our hope? Our hope is where we're going to be. Our hope is in the faithfulness of a faithful God who is faithful in everything he does for us, even though we may not understand it all the time. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Why do we disagree so much? Why is the picture of the body of Christ so different? Why can't we come to a place where we can find unity? I'm going to suggest the reason here, and this is my opinion, so it doesn't go to the bank. This is my opinion. I believe it is because we don't follow the direction of that spirit that has one message, that has one purpose, that has only one truth value system, and that's God's. It's because we begin to think on our own what this or that is, what will be good or what would be expedient. And pretty soon we find ourselves with different names on the door, hating one another because we don't agree. There is one Lord, Jesus Christ. There is one faith. Faith in the one who accomplished God's plan for us. There is one baptism. There's only one title to who owns you. And that is Jesus Christ. There is only one God, Yahweh, Jehovah. He has many names, but he's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He is over all. That means it's his word, not what I think. He's the one telling us all truth when I don't know what all the truth is. Who sees from a perspective that is from the beginning of time to the end of time, where I'm in just a blip of time. There is one God and Father of all who is over all. He is through all. He has permeated everything in the body of the church in truth, in faith, in all the truths of life that God has intended for his people. He is through it all. He permeates it all. And you know, we don't all wear the same clothes. We don't all look the same. We aren't all built the same. But yet the one God lives through us all. And he is in us all. One Holy Spirit. Now, if we have one Holy Spirit with one message, shouldn't we all be kind of halfway thinking alike when it comes to our faith and belief in Jesus Christ? In our faith and belief and obedience to the word that God has given to us to pattern our lives? Why are we so different? And again, it's not mine to fix. It's mine to share. It's mine to ask the questions to make you think. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A personal relationship. That means you and he. In that relationship, he is the one who is supreme because he knows everything. And he is willing to share everything with you. And he gives it to you as you are able to handle it, as you have need for it. And he builds you up. Does it make sense that if we are following God completely, according to his singular spirit, his singular desire for each one of us, that we can be so different? The problem with man is that we are man. And man typically, from the very beginning, thought he could be God. And friends, we've done a very poor job of it from the beginning. And we've messed up this whole plan that God has of perfection, of true unity, the true picture of all he's talking about right here. But he gives us an opportunity to be restored. We didn't get through the whole passage. We'll continue it next week, Lord willing. But think about this unity. How I physically, how I mentally, how I theologically fit in to God's plan, obedient to him. Because after all, the goal is to attain to the full measure of Jesus Christ. Looks to me like I've got some changing to do. And it's hard to grow up. It's hard to arrive at that place where we can be with the full measure of who Jesus is. A brother with eyes like he has, a mind like he has, actions like he performed. Am I even close to the image of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we have gathered here and we have seen this word, and Father, we all know that the messenger is never perfect, nor the expression of the words are rarely perfect. But Father, you are. And so my prayer today is that you would take through your Holy Spirit and guide us in the truth that you have for this passage of Scripture that we shared today. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you have provided this opportunity for us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.